We bid you welcome and good evening to this service of the imposition of ashes for Ash Wednesday here at First Presbyterian. You have announcements in the purple sheet that is inserted in your bulletin. We will forego announcements tonight in view of the solemnity of the occasion. This is the beginning of the season of Lent, when for 40 days, exclusive of Sundays, we observe Christ's journey into Jerusalem and his eventual crucifixion and death. The resurrection is the next holiday of Easter. During these 40 days, we commit ourselves to reflection, to introspection, and to finding our own way with Jesus to the cross. We are glad that you are here. Let us worship God. O Lord, open my lips, for you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, the sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit. Let us pray together. Gracious God, you breathed your life into the dust of the earth, creating us in your image to love and serve others. Animate our worship with that same breath, that as we confront the darkness of the world, we may fix our eyes on your eternal promise. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Let us join in the litany of confession as we have it in the bulletin. We will read responsively. Holy and merciful God, we confess to you and to one another and to the whole communion of saints in heaven and on earth that we have sinned by our own fault in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. Have mercy on us, O God. We have not listened to your call to serve as Christ served us. We have not been true to the mind of Christ. We have grieved your Holy Spirit. We confess to you, O God, all our past unfaithfulness, the pride, hypocrisy, and impatience in our lives. Our self-indulgent appetites and ways and our exploitation of other people. Our anger at our own frustration and our envy of those more fortunate than ourselves. Our intemperate love of worldly goods and comforts. And our dishonesty in daily life and work. Our negligence in prayer and worship, and our failure to commend the faith that is in us. Accept our repentance, O God, for all the wrongs we have done, for our neglect of human need and suffering, and our indifference to injustice and cruelty. For all false judgments, for uncharitable thoughts toward our neighbors, and for our prejudice and contempt toward those who differ from us. For our waste and pollution of your creation, and our lack of concern for those who come after us. Restore us, O God, and let your anger depart from us. Amen. Let us meditate in silence. As far as the east is from the west, so far has our God removed our sins from us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. Thanks. Let us pray together. O Lord, the shadows lengthen and day is done. The world retires to its rest. Yet we know that you are not done with our souls. You labor on despite the darkness, and you call us to be participants in your creation and recreation of our lives. So come, O Lord, grant us the light of your understanding as we worship, as we study, as we read, and as we hear your word read again. Illuminate us, O Lord, through Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. Our scripture lesson this night is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, reading from the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 6, and then 16 through 21. Listen for the word of God. Beware of practicing your righteousness before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look somber like the hypocrites, for they mark their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and dust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consume, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. We have heard your word read, O Lord, and now as we hear it proclaimed, may it enter into our hearts and mark us as yours. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I was a pastor in Atlanta for about 7-8 years, it seems like. And one year, a convention came to town. It was not a denomination I had heard of before. It was one of those who the title of them would take up two lines of what do you call that stuff, letterhead, yeah, with small font. And I never knew there were so many of these people, but they were all around Atlanta, and they were all, excuse me, they all had on T-shirts and hats and bumper stickers and balloons, and all that this had in common, it all said in one way or another, Jesus. And so I just kind of hid, and along with my Catholic and Episcopal and Lutheran brethren, we just tried not to be too terribly intimidated by all these people. We knew for a fact there were more of these people at this convention in Atlanta than there were Presbyterians in the world. And we also know that they probably had not read this piece of scripture which we had tonight, because they were very eager. I don't know why they picked Atlanta. You would think for per capita sin, you might go to, like, I don't know, Las Vegas or something. But I guess they figured that Atlanta had a larger per capita population, and that the level of sin would be probably per capita about the same that you would find in Las Vegas. So, and I guess the rooms were cheaper too. I don't know why they picked Atlanta, but picking Atlanta when you're looking for sin is kind of like hunting a baited field. And I know this because my church was in Midtown, right near Piedmont and Cheshire Bridge. And if you know anything about that part of Atlanta, there are, well, any kind of sin that you want to consider is right there, right there. I won't bore you with the details, nor thrill you with them, but safe to say, it was a rich environment for targets for them. And they were willing to stand on the street corners and preach. And they were willing to even come to the doors of churches, not of their denomination, and ask us if they could come in and talk to us about Jesus and the Bible. I politely declined. I said I had an appointment out with the rabbi, and that seemed to turn them off. So anyway, it brings to this to mind, what do we do with the fact that we people of faith live in a highly commercial world? And is it okay to put Jesus on everything around us? There was a young lady who in my first parish needed some money. She wanted some money for her family, and we agreed to hire her to come and clean our house. And she was of one of these frontier religions, as I call them. And she came and was somewhat put off. First of all, I picked her up, and I didn't have gospel music on the radio in the car. And she got to our house, and there was nary a picture of Jesus there. And then Miss Vicky kind of gave her the last blow when she was listening to Pink Floyd. She never came back to our house. We were obviously not people of faith because we did not have the outstanding representations of the faith. It leads me to ask a question tonight as we begin the Lenten story. Is our faith private? Is our faith personal? And can our faith be personal without necessarily being private? Somebody said that Baptists and some Methodists and Pentecostal holiness will do anything for the Lord. Grandmother said Presbyterians would do anything for the Lord as long as it's not tacky. And you know what tacky means, I guess, by virtue of your response. We don't generally put on Jesus t-shirts. We don't generally stand out on the street corners with those floppy King James versions of the Bible and tell people they're going to hell. We don't generally have revivals. We used to. I've been to a few Presbyterian revivals. And they were kind of, I hate to say, but they were rather anemic affairs that you would expect Presbyterians to put on because we would be kind of embarrassed to do that, but everybody else was doing it, and so we felt like we had to get engaged somehow. We are not a demonstrative people. We are, if anything, quiet and dignified. And I would dare say when you leave here tonight, the ashes in the sign of the cross on your forehead will probably not stay there very long because we are not a demonstrative people. That does not mean that we are not a faithful people. However, we are generally the ones given to more cerebral thought about God. We are the ones generally who will be out there doing quietly the things of the kingdom. We will give our money, our time, our energies, and our efforts toward anything we believe is part of the kingdom call. But we're not going to do it in such a way that draws attention to ourselves, because we're not here to draw attention to ourselves. We are here to draw attention to Almighty God through our quietness, our work, our steadfastness, and yes, sometimes even our dignity. Thank you very much. We are maybe the frozen chosen. We are sometimes the silent saints. But we do get the work done, and we work from our hearts, not by virtue of wearing a t-shirt. We work from our minds, not by virtue of having a hat on our head that says, "I love Jesus, do you?" Not by putting bumper stickers on the back of our cars that say, "Warning, in case of rapture, this car will be unmanned." Y'all have seen those, haven't you? Bumper sticker theology is a real thing, and it is so tacky. But we love it, don't we? And we love it that other people will put it on their cars and we won't. We are the ones who read this passage from Matthew very, very carefully, because we don't want to be of ostentation. We do want to be accused of faithfulness. And so we come here on Ash Wednesday. Notable that we come to receive the outward mark of our faith in the nighttime, a black mark on our head. We go home, we'll probably wash it off. You see, that black mark does more than just leave a smudge on our heads. It also leaves a smudge on our souls. A fingerprint, if you will, that won't come off, because we know we've been here. We know we received that mark. And we know we go out into the dark, not with a lot of fanfare and hoopla, but with consecrated souls and dedicated hearts. That's who we are. And somehow I think that Jesus would approve of the way we do things. And I'm not saying that Jesus disapproves of all the hoopla and what I call the Jesus junk. Not to say he has anything against that. Just to say, we do it a little bit differently. Something about that decent orderliness that has been our affliction for 400 years. But we're still here. We're still faithful. We wear the cross of ash on our souls. Let us pray. Thank you, O Lord, for this time we can share with each other and with you. Send us, we pray, to our assorted calls, not to be flashy, not to be famous, not even to be noticed, but to be faithful. And may that be enough as we go into this season of Lenten simplicity. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. We come to our time of communion, and this table is open to all. However you frame your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are welcome at this table. And in His name, we not only invite you, we beg you, come and join the feast. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right indeed, it is our joy and our salvation, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, at all times and in all places to give you thanks and praise through Christ, your only Son. You are the source of all life and goodness. Through your eternal word, you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image, male and female, you created us. When we sinned and turned away from you, you called us back to yourself and gave your Son to share our human nature. By his death on the cross, he made the one perfect sacrifice for the sin of the world and freed us from the bondage of sin. You raised him to life, triumphant over death. You exalted him in glory. In him, you have made us a holy people by sending upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit. Therefore, with the faithful who rest in him, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name. God, in Jesus Christ, in his suffering and death, his resurrection and ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate our redemption with this bread of life and this cup of salvation. Accept our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, which we offer through Christ, our great high priest. Send your Holy Spirit that these gifts of bread and wine which we receive may be to us the body and blood of Christ, and that we, filled with the Spirit's grace and power, may be renewed for the service of your kingdom. United in Christ with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, O God, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing, honor, and glory be yours, here and everywhere, now and forever. Amen. We recall how in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took the bread after he had blessed it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you.
This do as oft as ye eat it in remembrance of me. In the same manner also, after they had supped, he took the cup and said, This is the blood of the new covenant, shed for the remission of the sins of many. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in obedience to the command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we do break the bread and drink the cup until that time when he shall come again in glory. The gifts of God for the people of God. Come, let us keep the feast. Sister, that you were dust and unto dust you shall return. Remember, my sister, that you were dust and unto dust you shall return. Remember, my brother, that you are dust and unto dust you shall return. Remember, my sister, that you are dust and unto dust you shall return. Remember, my sister, that you are dust and unto dust you shall return. Remember, my brother, that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Remember, my brother, you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Remember, my brother, that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Remember, my sister, that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Remember, my sister, that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Remember, my brother, that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Remember, my sister, that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Remember, my brother, that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Remember, my sister, that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Remember, my sister, that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Remember, my sister, that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return.
Thanks.
Remember, my sister, that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Remember, my sister, that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Remember, my brother, that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Remember, my sister, that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Remember, my sister, that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Remember, my sister, that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Remember, my brother, you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Remember, my sister, you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Remember, my brother, you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Remember, my sister, that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Remember, my sister, that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return.
The body of Christ broken for you.
Amen.
The blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen. Remember, my brother, that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Remember, my sister, that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Have y'all served each other? Remember, my sister, that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Remember, my brother, that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Let us pray together. We have feasted and we have fasted. And Lord, we wear the marks of both. We thank you that you have called us to this place in the darkness of this night to remember how much you love us and how much you call us to serve in our own way and in our own times. For you will not call us to do anything that is contrary to the way you have made us. So help us to be faithful in our service, joyous in our work, to be reflective in this time of Lent, and to prepare for the glorious coming of Easter. These and all of our prayers we ask in the name and by the power of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who taught us when we pray to pray boldly, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
And now go forth from this place
in the presence of the Holy Spirit, guided by the love of God under the power of Jesus Christ our Lord, who sets us on this journey of Lent. Go forth and serve in the ways that God leads. And may we all be blessed by the power of the Father who created us, the Son who came down to be among us, and the grace of the Holy Spirit, which is sufficient for us all. Amen.